Diamonds have lost their luster. Not the diamonds themselves. No, it's the financial prospects of the diamond business that have dimmed. There are two reasons. One is the presence on the market of so-called blood diamonds, obtained illegally from Africa and sold to finance wars there. Another is the major changes within the diamond cartel De Beers, which once controlled nearly all the diamonds in the world. De Beers now faces challenges from diamond mines in Russia and Canada, so it's no longer a monopoly. And that has shifted the equation of supply and demand. The diamond industry is now trying to revive demand, and the U.S. is a key battleground. Last year, retail sales of diamonds brought in $56 billion. Half of those diamonds were bought here in the U.S. NPR's Jackie Leiden has this special report from New York, where almost every diamond in America comes to the city's diamond district.
In America, it all starts here, through the streets with big diamond-shaped lamps on Fifth Avenue. The Diamond District in Midtown is one of the most colorful neighborhoods in Manhattan. This insular world still feels like an East European village. Flocks of Hasidic men in flapping black frock coats and black hats push past gawkers in thigh-high skirts, and Hebrew is mingled with Spanish, Japanese, Urdu.
This is the way to go. You see, people talk about the Diamond District. They speak about the streets between 48th and 46th Street, between 5th and 6th Avenue.
Elbowing his way through the crowds is Joe Schlussel, a Romanian-born dealer who's a veteran of the vagaries of the diamond world. 40 years on the diamond street with the mental map of the district.
Now, what I would like to explain to you is this. There are many levels of the jewelry and diamond trade in this block. Right now, we're on the bottom, which is the street level. This is where the retailers are. We call these exchanges. Each one has a specialty. Somebody sells only what we call castings or mountings.
In this bazaar, there are cubicles for the dealers, and in one building, the Gemological Institute of America, which trains everyone. A few floors up, the Diamond Dealers Club, a sort of bourse or exchange with its own synagogue, and where, for a token 25 cents, diamonds are weighed. And dealers can keep climbing higher in the search for the ultimate diamond.
If you want to get the real, real good price, of course, you go. The higher you go, the closer you are to the source.
And you're on the eighth floor, we might point out.
No, they're higher than me, too. They're some people higher than me.
Joe Schlussel knows things are bad. There have been layoffs and foreclosures in the district. Worldwide, profits are expected to be down by a billion. 400,000 out of 800,000 diamond cutters have lost their jobs in India. And the diamond industry is sitting on excess merchandise it can't sell and that the banks effectively own. So the answer is to promote, promote, promote. Tiffany's is the home of the trademark blue box. It was Tiffany's, say its directors, who got American women hooked on the diamond. And at New York Fashion Week this fall, Tiffany's introduced a new line called Lace, which showcased the diamond in all its most powerful allure.
They're beautiful. They're very modern, I think. The lace is a very modern look today. And they look beautiful on. They're just gorgeous. I'd want them.
From a flagship emporium like Tiffany's to the backroom mom-and-pop diamond shops, marketing is the anthem for an industry chorusing that it may lose its edge. Increasing demand wasn't a problem when De Beers could make diamonds more rare simply by not putting them on the market. Then, De Beers controlled 80% of the diamond supply. Now, there are many more diamonds out there. De Beers controls just 66%. And in an ironic twist, the Diamond District's purveyors are being nudged by De Beers to be the promoters of a more freely traded diamond. Those nudges feel like tidal waves, says Rob Bates, who follows diamonds for Connors Publications. Flipping through a recent issue of JCK, the jewelry magazine, Bates pointed to an article on De Beers' strategy, Marketing 101, Igniting Diamond Desires.
This is basically about the seminars that De Beers is giving their site holders, teaching them how to be better marketers.
You make the point here that very few of these middlemen ever spent a penny on advertising outside the trade. Their names have never graced the pages of Town and Country, In Style, or any other media.
Well, that may change very soon. A lot of these people really don't know how to market, and De Beers is forcing them to learn.
Perhaps that's natural, since De Beers virtually invented diamond marketing.
For all of life's celebrations, and all of love's languages. Only a diamond says forever.
A diamond is forever is the most recognized dad slogan of the 20th century, according to Advertising Age. 90% of all Americans know it. Yet De Beers' name isn't even on the latest marketing ploy for which it's spending millions. De Beers will burnish desire for the sake of desire alone, hoping to enhance diamond demand. Just like pork the other white meat or the milk you see on mustachioed celebrities. The ad agency J. Walter Thompson is in charge of a new De Beers website, adiamondisforever.com. Ann Ritchie is a senior partner, she explains.
This is all run in flash, almost like watching a video. Oh,
this diamond is actually glowing. You've got it sparkling. Some of the copy says, you know, that you don't need the biggest or the best diamond. You need one that speaks to you. And they're actually seem to be trying to communicate with us, don't they?
Exactly.
Ann Ritchie says the adiamondisforever.com website gets 200,000 visitors a month who spend an average of 20 minutes online, and that most of them are the target market of women 18 to 34 years old. Even better, the website creates talk. Ann Ritchie heard this story while out for a drink.
And I was talking about my job, and of course my job is about diamonds, and I was actually referring to diamond engagement rings, and there was a woman behind me who overheard me, tapped me on the shoulder and said, "I just heard what you said. I don't, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to let you know that if you're interested in an engagement ring, you have to visit adiamondisforever.com. They have the most incredible design your own engagement ring program, and my friends and I just email each other constantly at the office with all of our favorite designs. It's a lot of fun, and you need to go visit it."
Did you announce who you were?
I didn't, actually. I was so intrigued by this that I thought I would play along and see how much information I could get out of her.
So what if you never know? De Beers is behind the website. But could a diamond, by any other name, shine more brilliantly, more ardently? De Beers may not be putting its name on diamond products now, but that will change soon. Industry analysts say that within a year or two, there could be a flagship De Beers store in London. Branding means associating a diamond with a high-end merchandiser like Givenchy or Prada. Gucci spends 15% of its profits on marketing, the diamond industry 1%. Andrew Lamotte, the De Beers corporate spokesperson, says branding is the future.
If you look at the watch industry as an example, you know, the watch industry, what characterizes the watch industry today is the existence of large brands. People can instantly recognize a Rolex or a, you know, or Omega, the existence of big brands, powerful marketing, exciting marketing, innovation. These are the sorts of things which help to raise the tide that lifts the ships.
But New York diamond dealer Joe Schlussel feels like his ship is being sunk. Branding, he says, can't help but negatively impact middlemen dealers like him. He started his own internet service, but Schlussel sees branding as crass, inimical to decades of cachet and distinction.
My view is that when you buy a diamond, you buy something intrinsically rare. Each diamond, as De Beers used to say, is as individual as you love. Now, when you have a branding, it means that all of them are practically the same. In other words, when you buy a Gucci bag, there may only be thousands of them in the world, but there are 1,000 Gucci bags. My opinion is when you buy a diamond, there is only one diamond that you and your loved one has as a common bond forever.
And as the 80% of American women who will plight their troth with diamond engagement rings demonstrate, it is an emotional bond. Whether that bond extends to the middlemen of the diamond district, its hidden synagogues, its diamond clubs, remains to be seen. Those diamond purveyors who survive, say industry analysts, will be the ones who can add value to their products. In other words, come up with something extra they weren't doing before. You can promote love equity. A classic is the anniversary ring. 3 stones for past, present, and future. The key is to be innovative. Alan Race is the son in a small, innovative mother and son company, itself a rarity.
Its original weight was 9 carat 38. It now weighs, after being sawn, this half weighs 4.90 carat. On the other half weighs 4.20 carat. The leftovers are all over the wall. All this black dirt is actually diamond.
Four men sit side by side at polishing machines. The walls are gray with coats of diamond dust. Once, Alan Ray's time was consumed with buying rough diamonds. Now, he's also a big believer in adding value, making finished diamond rings. As Alan Ray checks on his polishers, he's doing something else, bucking the notion of diamond dealing as patrimony. It was a lineage passed from father to son, uncle to nephew. That was before profit margins shrunk by the billions, back when a dealer could walk across the street with a diamond in his pocket and make a 2% markup in 5 minutes. Alan Reyes is in his 30s. Suddenly, when he looks around, he is the rare young man in this business.
Well, the reality is that the margins in this business aren't as grand as everybody expects. A broker literally works on 2%. I was actually playing golf with an associate, somebody who's in the business. And he strictly told me he will not let his children into this business. So there, I don't think that there are a lot of young people coming in. From where I sit, it's a good thing, because it takes out some of the competition and maybe lids a little more of the pot for me.
But that pot has a lot of sticky fingers in it, including some who are brand new to the diamond game. Let's say you're hooked by the diamond desire. More and more, women are buying themselves diamonds. In industry code, we're self-purchasers. Do you go to the Diamond District, Tiffany's, wait for the De Beers brand? How about dirtcheapdiamonds.com?
You know, I've learned a little bit of Hebrew in the past couple of years. I've learned not to be a nudnik. I think that means a pest or a pain if you call too many times in the day.
Every day and in every way, Jim Schultz breaks the standard. He's a young newcomer from Virginia with 0.0 connections to the diamond trade, a symbol of what can happen when you broaden the diamond's appeal. Dirt Cheap Diamonds deliberately takes diamond mystique and debunks it to, well, if not dross, then nothing but the facts.
I quickly realized that diamonds weren't as rare as I thought they had been. When I started looking around on the internet, I found that when I went to certain websites and searched for a very narrow range of qualities, that I would get hundreds, sometimes thousands of diamonds. There were a lot of hands that went through, that a diamond went through before it finally made it into my hand. And that's why, you know, depending on whether or not that diamond went through two hands or three hands or 20 hands from De Beers to the retailer seemed to gauge quite a bit of how much it was going to be selling for.
The irony is that as the D in diamond becomes more aligned with the D in demographic, it also stands for small D. A little diamond engagement ring today, an industry hoping you'll go on to bigger things tomorrow. Or maybe that D is for discount. For several years now, Costco, the purveyor of all things bought in bulk, from toilet paper to crab legs, has had a jewelry bar. We visited a Costco in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, on the Gowanus Canal, not a Tony place. There, in a plexiglass case of jewelry in the store center, twinkling at one end, was the diamond display. Costco's diamonds come with a guarantee that they will be half the price of an appraisal anywhere else, or your money back, plus $100 and the cost of the appraisal. Such competitive pricing shows how much flexibility there is in a diamond's markup. Let's find an engagement ring. Here we go. Diamond solitaire wedding. $1,399 for a diamond solitaire wedding set. And nobody interviewed felt their diamond would mean any less if it came from Costco. Certainly not shopper Eileen Morales.
I came here last week and I was looking at their diamonds. They're pretty good.
So you like the selection?
Yeah, they have nice stuff and I like diamonds. I have nice diamond earrings on.
Well, are you surprised to find diamonds at Costco?
I'm surprised.
Yeah, check it out.
I didn't know they had jewelry here, and I love jewelry.
You wouldn't think less of your diamond if you got it at the Costco?
I don't think so, because the quality of the diamonds are really good. And you could tell, because if you put your hand over diamonds, and the light still goes through it and it's still brilliant, they're good diamonds.
And you can do that here?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they take it out of the case.
Yeah, they take it out of the case, I'm sure. Even that one, that big one right there, the color is beautiful.
I just checked out the price on that. Did you?
Yeah, I saw it.
$24,000.
The color is beautiful. It's a blue diamond.
How do you know? I don't know as much as you know.
Oh, because it's...
Because it's actually sparkling blue.
Yeah. You could tell. Look at that.
Beautiful. Well, diamonds at Costco.
Diamonds are forever.
As a marketing ploy, that slogan still entices. But as the markets change so profoundly, from the upper-level branches of cachet to the dirt cheaps and bulk stores, perhaps a more apt slogan should be, a diamond is for everyone. That is the depressed diamond industry's greatest hope, that we just can't live without those glittering, glamorous gems, however we get our hands on them. Jackie Lydon, NPR News, New York.